This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay. Everybody take a breath today? Or no? Day two?
I forgot how to breathe.
Did it take effort? Do you have to remind yourself to breathe? Is it one of those?
Only when I'm sleeping. My wife still tells me I don't have the machine going anymore, and I there's long gaps in my
breathing. You had a machine, yeah.
Yeah.
Twitter,
that was tough.
Twitter came through. Yesterday, I late in the show yesterday, I'm like, what have we got here? Like, is this going to be an off-season, weeks, months of, like, getting after Brandon Bean, not just for, and not everybody was bothered, but, like, yesterday's performance, but, you know, like, sort of everything ended up on our table yesterday. Everything that happened with the Bills. And I was sort of not expecting that. I thought, usually, you know, there'd be a number more people than there were here to apologize for him and just be like, go Bills, right? Mm-hmm. Twitter did afford me that, at least.
Sure.
Twitter reminded me that we're all the worst, and he's human. I was told that one today. You know, he's human. We're not. He's human.
Yep.
You know, that's what I was kind of more expecting on the air yesterday, just people making excuses for whatever that was between, like, weird to unprofessional. Whatever that was, it didn't really happen. It did. I mean, you can't overreact to such a small sample size. Even Twitter is a pretty small sample size.
Sure.
But it did really seem stark how many, like, things from, how many skeletons came out yesterday. Like, oh, and, you know, trading up. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders was mentioned yesterday as, like, proof of their incompetence at that position, or if not incompetence, lack of understanding or, you know, commitment, whatever. And so I don't know if I'm here. I mean, I work here. I'm not sure I'm prepared for an entire summer of that. And I doubt there will be one.
I feel like it's going to, you know, it'll run its course eventually. I mean, not that we've got a lot of other things to distract us right now, but eventually, I mean, we're only a couple of weeks away from the schedule.
Oh,
right.
So we need that schedule.
So that's coming. Didn't you think during the draft when they brought, I forget the name of names of the two women who came out on stage to perform that, at least that was on ESPN. I assume that was a part of the draft coverage wherever you were watching it. I thought for sure they were going to announce a game. Like a Green Bay game, like a primetime Green Bay game, just because we're here and like this. No, the announcement is simply that you have a night, you're announcing the announcement, like the date of the announcement.
Yes.
I don't know. I just thought there would be more there. I thought there might be, I was waiting for you know, something about a game.
I was waiting, as much as I love the schedule, I was waiting for it to end. Right, you're here to tell me that? Great, leave.
Right, well, that's who's why next? I thought who's there the was going to be more to it than leave. Just the date of the schedule, because it seemed like a lot to go through to just have that be the result.
The
of
whole
that
big
appearance.
Script and back and forth, and right. Just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really think about that. I only thought about how last year, if not other years, they haven't released the date in advance. More than like a day or two.
Right, we're usually guessing for a while, and then it just comes up like on a Monday. Like, hey, it's going to be Thursday.
It's going to be Thursday.
Like that. Yeah.
Right. This in this case, May 14th. So that's right. You can count that down.
Yeah.
I will
yeah.
be doing that. I want to get to May 1st, probably.
Yeah, I think, I think when this week ends and we begin next week, I feel like the schedule watch will be kind of a, you know, somewhat semi-regular portion of schedule. Maybe replacing what wide receiver do we want the Bills to pick?
Maybe.
As a semi-regular, if not flat-out regular segment on the show.
4, 9. So it's 12 shows away.
All right.
I might start a new working schedule.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I was working on one, and then I made a mistake on it, and I just was done. But I might want to get back to that.
Oh, right. You used a different font for a home game. It was supposed to be a road game or vice versa.
I mixed
or something.
Up yeah. where the games against the NFC North teams were.
Yeah.
I had it backwards.
You can't stand for that.
You can't stand for that. No, you we'll have to start over. Well, the draft is over, and it is Tuesday. How about a fresh look at the AFC by way of the reverse AFC power rankings powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician? Visit empireelectricians.com. Who had a good draft? Who didn't? I have the PFF grades for each team. If you want them, if you want me to pick a different site, I will. These were a little bit nice.
I'm fine.
A little bit on the generous side, I thought.
I'm fine with that. I have not looked at all of the PFF grades, so I'm prepared to step in it here by, you know, dinging teams that I have traditionally dinged in this segment who may have, like, I don't know, is there an A++++ in the grades, or do they stop at A?
I've seen an A+, I think, but okay. I'm not sure I've seen two pluses in one place. Also, it's a new sheet today, so I don't have, they're up there if you want them, I don't have the last one in front of me to sort of work off of. Going blind.
Oof, wow, what a commitment.
I will look at the names of the teams, but I will not look at last, wasn't last week either, whenever the last time we did this was. It's only been like one or two in a month or so.
Yeah, we did one on a Friday, I think. Friday before last, I think, was the last time we did this.
Good of us to give the Friday listeners something. All right, 16.
Well, despite not having the sheet in front of you, I do recall who was in the 16th spot last time, and I am not necessarily of the mind to change off of that based on the results of the draft. Again, not knowing what kind of grade they got, but I know that the Pittsburgh Steelers only got around to addressing quarterback with mid-round Will Howard, I believe.
Yep.
So I think it's fair to question what exactly their plan is there. And if it is still waiting for Aaron Rodgers, that is sad and pathetic, and they deserve to be in the top spot here, in my opinion.
Pittsburgh, B+. You don't care about that then?
No, I really don't.
They didn't have that many picks either. No second round pick. I think I could get there. I like the Jets I'll nominate the Jets for this. No quarterback pick either. It's Justin Fields for now. Tackle, tight end, corner, just sort of a their draft, I think. Also B+ from PFF.
I do think they might have the makings of sort of getting their offensive line together, which will be a nice step once they find someone competent to play behind it, which they, to me, clearly still do not have if their plan is Justin Fields, and it seems pretty clear that that is their plan.
For now, at least.
Yeah.
I'll go with the Jets.
I'll go Pittsburgh. They kind of feel like they're in no man's land.
Okay. 15.
I can get there on the Jets with you.
Okay. 14.
Cleveland. That shot of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry having the really sad golf clap when they drafted Shedeur Sanders.
They did that for everybody.
They did that for everybody, but it felt like a low-stakes hostage situation that Jimmy has them called up and went, it's our last pick. You know who you have to take. It just, it, that whole building feels super uncomfortable.
What have they got? Flacco, Pickett? Is Flacco the betting favorite to be the starting quarter, the opening day starter there?
I don't know. Probably?
Probably.
I feel like I was told that. Maybe my kid mentioned it. I don't know. I'm not combing that corner of the betting internet to find out what the odds are on starting quarterbacks for the Browns or anyone else for that matter. But I heard something about that. So the Browns have Flacco, Pickett, Sanders now. What else is going on? They got like two other guys too?
Dylan Gabriel,
they drafted ahead of Sanders. That's right.
And then Deshaun Watson is still technically on the roster.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's not great. I would love to know, was it the owner who stepped in and just how, but what they, you know, really might have had planned. It was also, even though it was early in the fifth round, it was their last pick. So it had the vibes of the fantasy guy that is just like, exhausted. I got to get out of here.
I wanted to come out of this with this guy, and now I can do it.
Maybe
and then
that,
I can go
but
home.
Just somebody who wants to leave.
Okay.
Because, right. You know, by the end rounds in your fantasy draft, everybody's walking around.
I definitely have experience with both of those. I really wanted this guy. I can get this guy now. I'm going to get this guy. And also, my God, when is this ending? I need to go home.
Yeah, it's time to wrap this up. The Browns gave off some, it's time to wrap this up, looks there, feels. Okay. I do like the Hunter trade. I mean, they drafted a second one also, but they got a running back at 36 from one of Jacksonville's picks in the first next year. It's, you know, not a sure thing. It never is, because Hunter might be incredible, but
they're armed.
I thought it was worth doing.
Yeah, they're armed. I agree. You know, not that you wouldn't expect to figure out quarterback eventually, but from a roster building standpoint, I know you got to get the guys you can get when you can get them, but I never like the idea of I'm going to draft this receiver. We're going to pay him a massive contract. He's the second pick in the draft, and we don't really have quarterback figured out. And so his first year, maybe by year two, but that's probably a rookie. So did we get that right? Training wheels. You're into year three. Maybe before you even know if you have quarterback figured out. So you've burned through the front end of that rookie contract for the receiver without really having any stability at quarterback. Maybe. So I don't like paying a big price for an asset like that I'm not sure I'm ready to use effectively.
I do hope that the quarterback competition there, if there is one, sounds good. You know, like it's not just meaningless comments from the coach that you really can't believe. I want it to be a real one, whatever that means. Even if it's just the two rookies, somebody's probably not on the team, I would think, if you've got these four guys.
Yeah.
Although maybe you could put, if not Sanders, Dylan Gabriel on the practice squad and get away with it. I mean, he was not a great prospect. Okay, Browns. 13. Tennessee.
All right. Long way to go here, Titans. A lot of work to do.
And really, only so much optimism for Ward.
Yes.
He has his supporters, and so does the pick. Passing on Hunter and Abdul Carter for Ward. Like, all right, we get it. But it's not the perfect year to be in that spot. And, you know, that's what they did. Tennessee got an A from PFF. Probably helps to have the 101. 12.
I'm inclined to say Miami here.
Whoa.
Which is early for me. I recognize.
That was halfway between whoa and wow.
Yeah.
Please spell whoa correctly, world. Whoa. Thank you. Miami at 12. It's not WOA like Noah, like you see all the time.
Right, not an H on
it. It's not the word Noah,
yeah,
only with a W.
I just feel like everything's off there to me, just a little bit off. I think they probably are going to regret not moving on from the coach already. Like this year feels like the year where the football world is going to look at the Dolphins and go, I guess that didn't work. They gave it one more year because there was so much promise at the beginning of it, but I just think it's going the wrong way there.
All right. It's different. 11.
Indianapolis.
Okay. My ADP chasing team thought Indianapolis should have drafted Sanders or Milroe on day two because, just like, as they put it, thinking about quarterback probabilistically, you don't really have it. Why not get someone else and make it interesting? But of course, and they didn't need to be told this, teams never do that. Teams almost never do that. The Browns, you know, here are kind of doing that by drafting Sanders after the other guy they picked. But the Colts have enough stuff to deal with already with the two guys,
right,
that adding another one who might just immediately look better than both of your other two, they're not going to want to sign up for that. And they didn't. But you get the,
yeah, I get the logic. I get the logic, yeah. You know, maybe a further deterrent to doing that is that one of the guys that would have made sense, you mentioned, like Milroe, is, you know, compared not all that favorably with Richardson, right? Like, maybe Richardson is the reason Milroe wasn't a higher pick. If Milroe comes along when Richardson came along, maybe Milroe's the fifth pick in the draft, like Richardson. But now there's like orange caution tape or yellow caution tape all over that idea. So like, oh, we better not, Toolsy, maybe that's not the best idea. So like adding him specifically, would it, not that they would have to have added him, but he would have been a candidate at that spot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
would have been weird. You know, like, well, what are we doing here? We're getting another guy that can't play?
Just how does a coach... What I said about the Browns is I kind of want to think Stefanski can handle it. He's been around. He's had success. I don't know if the Colts guy can handle it. So all the more reason, not that that's like a good reason, but maybe it isn't a bad one either, to avoid further drama. 10. Patriots or Raiders, right? Or Jacksonville.
I want to give Jacksonville a little respect for the Hunter trade. I feel like that's not, so. I'm not going to get to them yet. I'll say New England.
I think I want to say Jacksonville, though.
Oh,
Jacksonville has a chance to be fun. I still don't know how talented they are. I'll go Jacksonville here.
I think New England is starting to make sense. Jacksonville at 10, 9. Jacksonville at running back will be very interesting. They drafted a guy, one of the many running backs, like, to crush on, Bashel Tootin. They did it early in round 4. They still have ETN. They have Tank Bigsby, who came on last year. That's crowded. And it may be that Tootin is, like, immediately their best, but he's also a 4th-round pick. New coach, though. Anything's possible there. Right. This is the guy the coach picked. 9.
And the coach certainly was not hesitant at all to put Bucky Irving in last year on offense.
In Tampa, anyway, right.
It was his call. But
that's right. He was the offensive coordinator in Tampa.
Right. So then Raiders next? What do you want to do here? It was Raiders or New England, and then Jacksonville stormed in.
I'll go New England here.
I'll say Raiders.
Ooh, I get to be tiebreaker. I generally feel like New England is going to be better sooner than the Raiders. I don't know when that will be exactly, and I don't know if that will be, you know, 8 wins to 7 or, you know, 7 to 6 for each side, but I think I'll go Raiders first.
Okay. Jack Besh to the Raiders in round 2. Genty, I'm just excited to see it. I could never get to, I want my team to do that, running back so early. But I'd also think, you know, it's going to be fun and interesting. So there's that. New England at 8, then?
Sure.
Drake May, Travion Henderson, if not also Stevenson, Diggs, Kyle Williams, receiver in round 3 for the Patriots. Diggs is a question mark. So is any rookie. But Henderson seems pretty exciting. and it's starting to look like maybe they're not. They drafted a kicker in the sixth round. Maybe they're not just completely empty, you know, cupboards.
Yeah, they got the tackle with the short arms and the short wingspan, but you know, I think the guy's gonna be a hell of a football player for them. So that, yeah, I'm all right. I like them
at 8. Big fall for New England. They've got to be excited. Got to tell Mike Giardi on Thursday that New England is down to 8.
They're sniffing at a playoff spot here.
Wow. And on this list, easily the second best AFC East team. 7. Houston?
Sure. I think I like them less than both of the other two AFC West teams that aren't the Chiefs.
Woody Marks. Houston drafted running back Woody Marks. Way higher than the consensus had him. He's the guy who went as Woody 7 years in a row on Halloween.
Okay.
And took on the nickname Woody. 4th round pick. Ahead of Dylan Sampson, who had, I think, way more love in the draft world than Marks. And they traded up for him. Marks off for that. No pun intended. 6.
Denver.
Bengals.
Ooh. Bengals.
Wow. All right.
They drafted the way they should have, and nobody liked their draft. I shouldn't say nobody. But everything I read on the Bengals was, yeah, good idea. Evan Silva was this.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy, and no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Way PFF was this way. Good idea, but not the right guys. Maybe Mr. Goodberry would see that differently.
What does that mean? Like, positional, like you did what you should have done positionally, but picked the wrong players for those positions.
Yes.
Okay.
Shamar Stewart in the first round, right. Okay. But he didn't really, like, do anything.
Right.
And then linebacker Demetrius Knight in the second round. All-around linebacker, old, one of the older prospects in the draft. Maybe, just sensible, safe even. But how good are your new players? 5.
I guess I'll say Broncos again.
I'll say Chargers.
Broncos.
Those two are always close. 4.
Chargers.
Yep.
Let's keep them close, right?
3. Bills.
Sure.
2, Baltimore.
Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm going to say Chiefs, too.
Okay. I had a feeling of, let's see order restored with the Chiefs at 1. But there were good reasons to knock them. Their offseason pre-draft was criticized. More losses than gains. And people liked their draft. And, you know, the Bills and the Ravens. But we had, you know, them ranked lower or higher in this case before. They did win the AFC. Omar Norman Lott, round 2. Defensive tackle right around where the Bills would have picked. And my buddy and I, watching night 2 of the draft, were having fun with, you're going to get calls. The Bills could have had Omar Norman Lott if they had just
stayed put. So we're going to be doing Xavier Worthy / Keon Coleman with, what's this guy's name again?
Omar Norman Lott.
And TJ Sanders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Arguably the best true pass rushing defensive tackle in the class. Look out. Know the name.
Wow.
Or do yourself a favor and not know the name. Just, you know, enjoy the sunshine today. 803-0550. Maybe you're feeling some carryover from yesterday. Something you wanted to say that didn't get said or whatever. We'll look for that and talk more about the draft and other things. Reverse AFC Power Rankings on WGR, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com.
We knew going in there's going to be more transition on defense, and, you know, we just felt we needed to kind of add some free agent depth, which we did on the D-line. We added Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi. But then we looked at the depth of the draft, and we started in February. We felt like there was going to be a good number of D-linemen that we would have an opportunity at some point early in the draft. Not necessarily first round, which we got a corner, but the next two picks lined up for us to take D-linemen. And so we weren't going to turn away from it with the value that we had on our board.
Brandon Bean on with Pat McAfee. Bean is getting around. And that's not a bad thing. I hear he's doing Donahue tomorrow.
That's still on?
No.
No.
Phil Donahue has died.
Passed away.
I have some sad news for everyone.
Oh, boy.
Phil Donahue, no longer with us. So that's not a thing tomorrow. That's not.
Okay.
What would be the actual show? What's next?
The View.
You go from us to One Bills Live,
the
you know,
View?
Rank them.
The View.
The View.
Is that
McAfee,
still on?
The View.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Kimmel.
Sure. Yeah.
Or Ship Chasing. The guys today were like, so what happened?
Right.
What did he say?
Right.
I saw it. What happened, actually?
Yeah. I'm still not really all that sure what happened, actually. I mean, mostly, I don't know. Like, these things are, you know, it's a runaway train kind of thing. Like, it gets interpreted in a certain way. And, you know, we've all watched these sorts of things unfold, you know, on social media and in sports and in just pop culture in general, where, like, it's the way it's being consumed on a mass level is not exactly accurate to what exactly happened. Like, it's being sort of misinterpreted to an extent. Like, yes, Brandon Bean yelled at the guys on our morning show for loving the idea of drafting wide receivers, but he reacted to something that, like, barely should have registered, and when in truth they spent the most part of their show leading up to his appearance talking about the picks that he'd made and them being good ideas, understanding what they were doing. And, like, Bean was just waiting to come off the top rope mad about receivers, because we've all talked about and they've talked, Jeremy's the wide receiver train. But it, like, was not happening on the show. Like, the idea that the Bills draft was getting attacked is not true, but it's too late. Like, there's no right. There's no changing that. That's how it's being reported. That's how the video tells that story. That he's mad at them, and you just assume that, well, they must be guilty. He's yelling at them, but it really didn't happen that way. But there's nothing you can do about it. So, like, that's all I have to say about that part of it right now. I don't know that I want to say anymore, because you can't fight the tsunami. Like, the tsunami's coming. It came. It wiped everything out. And here we are. We're just sort of left here.
As far as the station goes, there's a benefit to it, of course. Like, you get a lot of attention. No, it's not the point of any of it, but you do.
Right.
When the GM goes off on your station, even if it's not about you, you run with it. That's the things people who comment on this stuff just cannot seem to understand is baffling. But, you know, a lot of people get it. That's what any radio station would do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you're at fault or you're not, because that's a judgment call anyway, and it's still something that people are interested in. So that's pretty basic stuff. What is ironic, like you said, is not just what they were saying or not saying before it happened, but, like, yesterday we're talking about it all day, and a couple of different times, one in particular later on in the show, somebody called up to say, well, who are they supposed to take? And, you know, fair question.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was not last year's draft where if the Bills and their needs were different, like they weren't like so vacant at corner for one last year, but if the Bills passed on receiver at what was it originally 26, eventually 33, and picked defense then
28, but yeah,
28,
yep.
28 to 32 to 33. Okay. If they had done this last year with all those receiver options, you know, including Coleman, including Worthy at the time, including Ladd McConkey and more, if they had done that, that's different than doing it here. And plus they have Coleman and they didn't last year. So their needs were a little bit, definitely were different overall team-wise, and wide receiver, they were not as short, I guess I would want to say. And the draft was not as rich. Had Matthew Golden fallen, had Ibuka fallen, had Burden had a little bit more hype and people weren't poking holes in him, but instead sort of focused on his talent, then they have something more if the Bills pick cornerback at 30, but they still with that needed a corner. That's
yep.
Totally reasonable. It really, what yesterday brought out, and there's nothing bad about this either. It's right. The perspective is called for. Yesterday brought out, okay, look, how many years has it been? How many times have we kind of learned the same lesson? How many new research projects do we need to see about the importance of the wide receiver position versus run stuffer? How much more of this do we need to go through before the Bills act accordingly? And even if they have good receivers, which even that right now is debatable, even if they scored 30 points a game, certainly also a debatable thing. Even if the draft isn't long for receivers, still, you pick Burden, right? You do that. Or you pick Jalen Royals in the third round or whoever you liked.
Yeah.
That argument is being made, and it is in the big picture with all the times. That's, I think, the most telling data or take of the whole thing is all this many years, even with totally reasonable points made about what they needed on defense, you have an organization that has poured money into the defensive line. And what have they gotten out of it? Mixed. I mean, to be fair, not terrible, but mixed
right. They're
results.
Not, they're not dominant up there. Far from it. They're all right. Like they've had some very highly rated defenses as part of that. But you know, yeah, I can understand their desire to remake the depth chart there. You know, on the back end as well as up front. It's really more about it's not even so much. I think, you know. Because I also think, who did you want them to pick is a good question, right? Because for me, it's just, I don't know, just someone. Just try someone. I don't know, the Utah State guy in the fourth. Try someone that has a chance to maybe be, to add to what you've got here. Because they're just, I don't think they've had enough there. And that's it. So it's more like a year-over-year frustration. Like, I don't leave the desire to get better there at the doorstep of last year or the year before when they drafted Kincaid and then Coleman in back-to-back years with their top pick, because neither of those have had the desired impact yet. And, like, that doesn't mean that their careers are over. I know they're still here, but I got to keep trying until I get, like, if someone I'm going to pick on Saturday is going to take a year to develop anyway, well, let's get the clock running on that. You know, like I need someone who might have to wait in line for a little while and then get their chance, you know, behind Curtis Samuel or something. And, you know, more than just a practice squad guy. I just don't feel like they've been very active in trying to do that. Like, the pipeline doesn't feel, they've got guys, I know, like there are guys on the practice squad, but I just don't know how promising any of that is. And so I'm just kind of always looking for another guy is really all there is to it. So I don't think you should like feel like you're all set because you drafted Keon Coleman last year.
And if it comes, like your point, among your points is, if it comes at the expense of a second defensive tackle, or defensive lineman, or right. corner, then so be it.
Right.
That's a small price to pay, it would seem.
Yeah, I think the way I understand what happened yesterday, and I know this because Jeremy texted me when we opened our show talking about this, is I think I said I didn't hear the exact run-up to it, but I'm pretty sure they weren't just clobbering Bean and the Bills for not drafting a receiver. Jared told me all he said when they were getting done with Sale that Bean might have been on hold for, but I don't even think that was the case. But the only thing he said was, I want to ask him if they prioritize receiver sort of in kind with the way the league appears to. That's it. And so I don't know, you know, what he was responding to. But it doesn't sound to me here, you know, more than a day later, like it was the show.
Well, it's,
but I don't know.
It's not the whole league. And I don't know if we even need him to answer the question because we know, especially after yesterday. That's what yesterday was good for, was because he lost his temper. He told you, he made an argument for why he doesn't think they need somebody. As opposed to the usual, well, you can always, you know, improve your football team, that kind of thing. You're always looking. You're looking for anybody. If the guy was there, we would have picked him. He went on to say that later. But when it was Raw, he's like, not fantasy football, 30 points a game, winning football, right? We don't care who gets the ball. He even kind of said also, we don't care who the quarterback is. Like, just to sort of accentuate the point about, it's not about who the players are. Well, I mean, sure it is. Because some guys are better than others, and if you had, you know, just if any team, you're going to want to feed your best guys. And the Bills, you know, to whatever extent this is by design or not, they don't have anybody in the passing game that needs to be fed, quote-unquote, right? Like Diggs was. Diggs, I'm already feeling exhausted by just from a few minutes of this today, but, you know, as we know, Diggs was very successful, but not so successful at the end of the season and in the playoffs, you know, enough times, which I think might have made it easier for them to divorce him, to get a divorce with him. That was a lot of off the field too, and just personality conflicts.
Well, sure, but if he'd been coming off a game where he looked like he was at the height of his powers or something, that might have been harder. Like if the end of the season had gone differently, but we know how it went, and so there was enough support that I think they felt like we can do this and keep moving. You know, what I didn't anticipate is that they would, like, not suffer from it at all. They really didn't. And that is a part of Bean's point. And, like, he's got that there is scoreboard there. You know, and I respect that. I just, my question is, can you expect to continue to live that way? And, you know, I guess we'll find out. And then we'll find out if October comes and they realize, hey, you know what? We got to do this thing again where we go trade for a guy. Because that is, again, that's a part of what told me they still have an opening, is that they haven't really replaced the guy they lost. They went out and got last October.
One thing I said yesterday was what I think had in his comments is almost what qualifies as a promise that they're not looking to add anybody else. If they get into the season and or there's an injury and circumstances change, then it's not like they wouldn't be allowed to do it. But he's clear that he's not looking to do it.
Right. If we're sitting in here one day and something reignites the conversation about Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers or something.
We can't play in that sandbox.
We are not, you know, at the top of the list there in the betting odds, I don't think. At least I wouldn't expect that we would be, and I just wouldn't take it seriously at all, because I agree. I think once the season gets here, then it's different, because we were talking the same way last fall, early before they made the Cooper trade. Everybody eats. Can they really make a trade for a receiver? It looks like you're turning your back on, you know, what the plan was. But they got over that and made the move because they thought they needed to make a move. So the same thing could happen. I'm not rooting for that. I mean, I hope this all works. I hope Josh Palmer turns out to be like a suitable Amari Cooper replacement. Maybe he will be. I don't know what in his career would tell you that to this point, but that doesn't mean it still couldn't happen.
I think what you got to hope for with Palmer is, because of the kind of receiver he is, which is, this is a good thing, and it helps – it sort of makes the signing make sense, is the separation piece. And You know, if it's deep routes, even better, because those are game-changing plays. There's just not going to be a lot of it. I don't think there's any real chance with Palmer that it's, you know, five catches a week or anything like that. What is that, 80, 85 catches? I'd be shocked if we get even close to that. But all of this, and I think we'll probably get back to this maybe many times, whether it's receiver or pass rush, any particular thing, it really is about the playoffs and the fourth quarter of a close game, and do you have a guy that you can trust? And again, that can be offense or defense, because they will be in the playoffs. It would be a catastrophe if they were not. The division appears to be terrible. You're playing for January. And so do you have somebody, in terms of receiver, do you have somebody that you would want to throw the ball to that you know you would want to throw the ball to on a critical play in the playoffs? Is that Shakir? Is that good enough? I mean, I think that I don't like it that way because it's a long season and you never know what's going to happen. But I kind of do think this team is in a position where, and so is Kansas City and a couple other teams, where really you can think about it that way, I believe. Sal coming up at 4, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Welcome back. We'll talk to Sal Capaccio coming up in about 12 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Here is Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hi. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Bills' offense. It's a weird offense to talk about. The 30 points a game is correct, and Bean mentioned that, and he was right too. But when you watch our teams, you know, a lot of times Josh makes a miracle happen several times throughout a game, and that's where these points come from. And sometimes in the playoffs against a better defensive coordinator or a better team, things do seem to tighten up where the idea of Josh make it happen, you can feel that several times, most notably in the Bengals game a couple years ago. And so I think it's fine to be worried about, you know, having a guy who creates a matchup problem. And I think, you know, Keon Coleman might be that guy. He might not. You know, I'm little bit pessimistic. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really hoping, you know, he works out. And maybe Bean's getting a little frustrated because of those picks not working out. But you know, it's a weird offense. You know, objectively, we're phenomenal. But when you watch it, you know that it's a lot of Josh Allen magic, and it's hard to count on that. And we're privileged to be able to talk about this because you do start fine-tuning when you're one game short every year or two games short every year. And it's just a weird offense to talk about. It's hard to analyze.
He makes you, Allen, thanks Jason. Allen makes you wonder, or always be willing to debate perhaps, just how good everybody else is, you know? And obviously the Bills have gone a long way with what they have. And it's not like everybody's a bum or anything like that, but the surrounding talent, it's kind of always somewhat of a mystery. What, you know, you don't want to see him miss games, but what would it look like? Would guys, yeah, you know, would they survive it or would they just be inept? I don't know. But I tend to feel the way the caller does, that he is most of it. I mean, Dawkins is good. Diggs was great. He was most of it, is for them. Let's get Charlie in real quick. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you, Charlie.
But listen, I'm just calling again. I'm on this rant about the Bills winning a Super Bowl. And I'll say this real quickly. When I was, many years ago, played for the campus school in Kenny's, I was one of those 5'10 leapers with a great heart and great desire. But when I came up against Ray Morningstar and Dave Townsend and Duke Brundage, I was just too small. Us drafting a small, fast, I don't care if he was the fastest in the country, a 5'8", 5'10 guy going up against a Randy Moss, it won't happen. And at the end of the game, in the Super Bowl, when the money's on the line, or the championship game, those guys can't stop the ball from being caught. We need a big, tall, fast guy. So, and again, same thing, middle lineman. I mean, we got a great heart, a guy, he's 6 foot tall. We need a 6'5 big man. And so I'm really about size. And I wish the Bills would stop drafting these little guys with great talent and heart but can't compete in 2025. Thank you so much.
Okay. I don't know what proof there is of any of that. Maybe there's more in high school.
They did draft one of the biggest guys in the draft.
You want to
– in Deion Walker. But anyway.
You want to great corner, but he has to be big at pick 30.
You're not fine.
No chance.
I don't think I've ever seen a 6'5 corner, by the way. I don't think they exist. If you're 6'5 and have those skills, you're probably playing receiver.
Yep. Thanks, Charlie. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here with Sal next on WGR.